The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
It is a lie. False. It is Mitch Berg, the headliner. Closer edition, Brad Carlson off on assignment today. Technically, so am I. This is a pre-recorded episode because I, too, am off on assignment. But my assignment and Brad's all tie into the show here. And this is something I've been wanting to talk about for quite some time anyway. So carrying on, by the way, Brad will be back next week along with myself Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3. Jack Tomczak, 3 to 5 on AM 12A The Patriot. And, of course, King Banyan, fellow charter member of the NARN, going back to 2004, coming up Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on our sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman, together the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Going on 20 years, literally, 2 weeks away from our 20th anniversary. 20th anniversary party, doings are in the works, or works are in the doings. Either way, we're going to have a party ready here, covering both the 10th and 20th anniversaries. And given my procrastination with planning, what the heck, maybe we'll just get a head start on the 30th anniversary party, God willing. That's kind of what I'm thinking about here today. So, talking about this hour, continuing the discussion from the last hour, and if you are listening to this on the podcast and you haven't heard hour one, there's a bunch of setup there, kind of talking about my bona fides and my goal, which is to try and explain to a generation that has largely been brought up without any reference to the idea about what we as conservatives believe and why we believe it. Or worse than that, who have come up through this world with a mutated, perverted version of what conservatism is supposed to be, fed to them by a deeply cynical media and education system that is working for the other side. I mean, let's be honest about this. This is something I started thinking about trying to do about a year ago, within the last year, when a woman named Brianna Rose something or other went on to she's the chairwoman of the Minneapolis City Democratic Party, a hotbed of Democratic socialists, basically the communists that I am looking to fight against here, intellectually. On the anniversary of Ronald Reagan's passing, she said, well, good, he never did anything good for this world anyway. The best thing he ever did was die. And it was gratifying to see that there was a tidal wave of revulsion for what she had said. And including from within some parts, at least some of the more sane parts of her own party. And she is a little, maybe several years older than my children. But I told her, and I'm sure she didn't hear it because she blocked me from her account and took her account down for a while because she got hammered by public opinion. And I told her, you know what? You're a few years older than my kids. You were also of an age where you could not have been around for any part, at least not in a thinking way, for any part of the Cold War that I grew up in. And I say this because growing up in missile country like I did, the thought of having kids terrified me. Because why would I bring kids into a world that could be vaporized the moment some colonel in Colorado Springs or Omaha or Kubishev or Moscow has a bad day or eats a bad burrito and hits the wrong button? Why would I do that? And it's not an accident that my kids came along after the Berlin Wall fell, after communism was already circling the drain of history, or at least the Soviet Union was circling the drain of history, 30 years before we all figured out that, in fact, that virus had come to the American college campus just to really fester. At any rate, my children are probably not the only ones who wouldn't have been born had the Cold War not ended. As we discussed last week, as I commemorated Ronald Reagan's birthday on February 6th, I'm of the opinion that the Cold War ended in large measure when it did, because of Ronald Reagan and the alliance and the coalition of people he built and left the world a much better place to refight the battle again against the same crowd, but basically from within this country. And I'm talking right now, and this is what I want to try and get across to the younger generation, the millennials, the Generation Zs, the Generation Alphas coming after them, who are a whole different sociological kettle of fish. I want to talk to them because there's two fundamentally different ways of looking at life. And one of them was kind of summed up in a backhanded way 12 years ago when 13 years ago, by good friend of this broadcast, Representative Mary Franson from Alexandria, who in her first term in office went on YouTube and did a video about why she's a conservative. Of course, she is one of the great fire-breathing conservatives in this state. In a just world, her and Walter Hudson would be a ticket running for government, in my humble opinion. But she made a video back before she was really polished and up on message discipline, an area where she's probably just call her the most improved player over the last 10 years. She did a video in which she said, you know, the welfare system treats people like animals. Now, the Democrat noise machine got in and says, hey, she's calling people animals. And got her a big public relations nightmare And she survived. She's still there. Her opponents are largely gone, turned over to other people. But she has a point. She had a point. And in fact, this is a huge point. One of the reasons that when I talk with millennials and Generation Zs and people under the age of 35 for the most part, they have latched onto the idea that government is something that is there to make their lives better, and that if we have enough government, you'll get a better life. Government is where they went to get their student loans. Government is where they got their stimulus checks from during the pandemic. Government is there to take care of them, and that's a line that the DFL administration in St. Paul has been throwing out there with all of the same cynicism that I threw out in the 1980 North Dakota Boys State platform process, basically pandering to people, giving them what they think they want, and just saying, okay, we're going to take care of things for you. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Now, and what this does, really, I mean, it goes back to the old saying, the goal of society is that each gives according to their ability and takes according to their needs, which is one of the Marxist mottos. I mean, it sounds really, really nice, but essentially it says, okay, everyone's kicking into and taking out of the public kitty here. It means that government here is to, and the goal of society, really, because government has a huge role in society, the goal of government is to take care of your material needs. That freedom is being free from catastrophic material needs, or even inconveniencing material needs, potentially. I mean, making sure your kids are fed at school every day, making sure that you have, which if you're a biker in the cities, you have the bike lanes you want, making sure that you are materially satisfied, that you're that the food you eat, the roof over your head, the doctor you go to, that the needs you have as a unit of consumption are met. The goal is material satiety. And the thing is, to a whole bunch of people, largely but not exclusively on the left of center, that's the goal. And if you're not to the left of center, this is a profoundly toxic thing. It's actually inhuman. It's not how you treat, it's not how you treat free human beings. It's how you treat livestock. It's how a dog owner treats the dog. One of the things that Dennis Prager talks about, and it ties directly into this, is one of the worst things you can do to a human being is give them exactly everything they want. You think, oh, I someone who wins the lottery, for example. Classic example. Not the most classic example. We'll come back to that. But the classic example is someone who, one of them, at least, it's someone who gets a 7 or 8 digit lottery prize, or 9, or these days maybe 10 figure lottery prize, and suddenly has everything they want in the world taken care of. Their material needs are satiated, and then some, by orders of magnitude. And it's phenomenally likely that in a few years, these people will report this is the worst thing that ever happened to them. That winning a lottery and getting everything you wanted in life is a profoundly awful thing for you. And why that is, a lot of the lottery winners have no idea. There's a phenomenal number of people who grew up to have horrible family, who go on after winning the lottery to lose most of the money, have terrible family problems, have deep mental health problems, destroy their families, destroy their social circles, and completely trash their lives to the point where many of them say it is literally the worst thing that ever happened to them. And that ties into this. Seeing to a human's material satiety leaves a gap in the human life that you don't know until you see it in action. And the problem is we can see it in action now. And in fact, since so many in the younger generation like to put those signs out in front of those houses saying, in this house, we believe ... in that science is real. We got some science on the subject here. We'll talk about it when we get back from the break here. But just as we've seen that lottery winners, having all of their material needs met over and over again in such a way that even government can't dream about, unless, of course, you're Hunter Biden and his father, the big guy, the toxic effect that has and how that is playing out with an entire generation of people right now. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network. I'm in for Brad Carlson. My name is Mitch Berg. I'm the headliner. I'm normally heard every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. And next Saturday, I will be yet again. So hope to see you then. But in the meantime, come on back because the fun is still just beginning. Go nowhere. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network, Mitch Berg in for Brad Carlson. Hey, small business owners, you know that there are so many ways to reach potential customers. It can just make your head spin. You got radio, you got streaming video, social media, search marketing, digital advertising. The list goes on. Trust me, it does. Salem Surround Marketing can help you find the best media strategy to help you reach your goal. So much to it. You just need to get a hold of our crack digital marketing people. 651-289-4450 is the number to go. Or go to surroundmsp.com. They'll walk you through the whole process. Honestly, these guys are the best in the business. And gals, all of them, best in the business at helping your business get going. So, before the break there, we were talking about the toxicity of having all of your needs met and how, as evidenced by the fact that the lottery winners who get everything they want in the world given to them, literally, in one big silver platter, an 8-digit long number, By the way, all I want is the chance to prove that too much money can't make me happy. I just want to be a scientific experiment. No, seriously, no, it's not true. And how, in the case of our friend Mary Franzen, this was manifested in how the welfare system, how government taking care of people works. It debilitates them. It treats them like livestock. And the thing is, even livestock have problems being treated like livestock. I mentioned science. There's a psychologist named Baldwin who wrote about the concept of what's called the behavioral sink. It's about the way populations of intelligent creatures, more or less intelligent creatures, behave partly when there's too many of them. But having too many of them is a symptom of having all of their needs met and not having to really worry too hard about what they're going to be doing with their free time. And the write-up about this experiment, I first heard about this on Jordan Peterson's podcast a while ago. And give it a listen and tell me if this rings a bell to any of you here. The report on this experiment said that many female rats, this is an experiment on rats, and by the way, the rats in this little colony were given literally everything they needed to live. They built basically a rat utopia. If you were a lab rat, this was the life of Riley. And it occurs to me, people under the age of probably 40 have no idea what the life of Riley means. This was, what can I say that's on a Salem station? Anyway, this was the life. If you're a rat, this is basically an all-inclusive resort. There we go. Many female rats, this is the lab report, were unable to carry this is the effect of having literally everything they wanted, but no purpose in life for an extended period of time in rat years. Many female rats were unable to carry their pregnancies to full term or to survive delivery if they did. Even greater number, after successfully giving birth, fell short in their maternal functions. Among the males, the behavior disturbances ranged from sexual deviation to cannibalism, and from frenetic overactivity to a pathological withdrawal from which individuals would emerge to eat, drink, and move about only when other members of the community were asleep. The social organization of the animals showed equal disruption. Does this ring a bell to you? Aberrant behavior that completely goes back on what has been the norm among rats for all of rat history. Going back to the lab report, a common source of these disturbances became most dramatically apparent in the population of a first series of three experiments in which we observed the development of what we call a behavioral sink. The animals would crowd together in greatest number in one of four interconnecting pens in which the colony was maintained. As many as 60 of the 80 rats in each experimental population would assemble in one pen during periods of feeding. Individual rats would rarely eat except in the company of other rats. As a result, extreme population densities developed in the pen adopted for eating, leaving others with sparse populations. And it goes on from there. To report on, eventually, these rats who were living in an environment that was designed to be exactly what Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan claim they want for Minnesota, a utopia where all of your material needs are met. And the society, this rat culture, collapsed in on itself, and within a few generations, they all died. They ran this experiment several times, as noted in the blurb I read. Several different times, the experimenters ran the whole experiment and worked a few different variables to try and make the utopia, the rat-topia, even rat-topier, even better, to try and find out the things that caused this population of absolutely materially satisfied, perfectly fed, air-conditioned, absolutely life-perfect in every way in a rat context, rats die off within a few generations. Having everything they needed satisfied for them, but no real purpose in life, no real pull in their life saying, okay, You're living for something bigger than yourself. Whatever that is for a rat. When you're a rat, it's probably the struggle to survive, the challenge of being a rat. I don't know. I'm not a rat. Ask. I'm not going to say it. I'm better than that. Anyway, not being a rat, I don't know. But you see, are you seeing this? Are you seeing this bit of behavior manifested in the world around us right now? In the society right now that has had the great, we've just come out of the greatest 40 years of prosperity in human history. When people yap about Ronald Reagan running up the deficits, he ran up the deficit to bring down communism so we did not have to fight the Cold War. So all of that military production, all that money we were spending on the military, which, by the way, as a share of GDP, was much higher than it is today. You talk about what the military spends today, it is much lower than it was 40 years ago as a share of GDP. And all of that productivity, all that wealth got turned to the civilian market. And starting during the Bill Clinton years, the peace dividend got cashed. And suddenly all that technology that was going into smart bombs and submarine sonar and thermal imaging for tanks in the 1970s is now in your iPhone. It's now in your laptop. It's now in your little watch, which has thousands, maybe millions of times more computing power than the rocket ship that went to the moon, which was roughly not a whole lot different than a smart calculator today. And so if you've grown up in this last 40 years in the world that Reagan helped build with the fall of communism and the end of the Cold War, you have grown up with the greatest, in the greatest wealth of all time, even with 2008, even with the 2008 recession, you have grown up in a time with the most amazing wealth of all time. You have grown up wealthier than kings 1,000 years ago. You've grown up, even if you're in the third world, with a standard of living that no human being could have ever imagined. Here's a marker for you. Here's where material satiety comes in. When I was a kid, 6 to 10 years old, we were told that overpopulation was inevitable, that the world was going to end from overpopulation, that by the year 2000, 90% of the population of India would have starved off. Most of South Saharan Africa, home now to about a billion people, would be under 100 million people, inevitably. And that we'd be having food riots in the United States. By the way, this is brought to us by many of the same people who are yakking about global warming today. What happened? Today, for the first time in history, all the millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years of human history, or if you're a young Earth creationist, all 6,000 years of human history, for the first time in whichever history you believe in, obesity is a bigger problem than famine. There are no systemic famines anywhere in the world. East Africa, maybe we'll see one again here. But that's entirely a function of government, by the way. But for the first time in history, there are more fat people than starving people. Something that if you'd have told people 100 years ago, even here in the United States, that have said, oh, man, I want a bottle of whatever you're drinking. Oh, wait, we have prohibition. I can't drink. I have to buy it from a bootlegger. I digress. Many female rats in the behavioral sink experiment were suffering psychological problems. And once the kids were born, they let the family structure fall apart, and the male rats were even worse, eating the babies, eating each other, destroying the society. It's almost as if you turn a bunch of adolescent men loose with no greater purpose in life, and they will come to some mischief. They will gather together in large aimless hordes and end up doing no good. Does this sound like any society you may all be living in right now? Let me know. Because this is my biggest concern. We have a generation or two who think that freedom means freedom from want, freedom from anxiety, freedom from hunger, freedom from worrying about where the world is going to take you. And I come from a world initially that was probably right along with that, but he went to a world that we here, at least in the paleocon community here in the talk world of talk radio, believe in. A world of completely different freedoms. I want to talk about it when we come back. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 12A, The Patriot, Mitch Berg in for Brad Carlson. AM 1280 The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the best and longest running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities, one of the longest radio shows, period, still on the air here in the Twin Cities, right here on AM 1280 The Patriot. Join myself, the headliner, Brad Carlson, the closer, and Jack Tomczak, the new guy, for the Northern Alliance Radio Network every Saturday from 1 to 5 p.m. and Sunday, right now, as it happens, from 1 to 3 p.m. here on AM 12A, The Patriot, along with King Banyan on our sister station, 1440, The Businessman. The Narn brings you the best in local political conservative talk. We have been around literally 20 years. We're kind of like the Boone and Erickson, kids ask your parents, but the Boone and Erickson of the crowd that believes Ole and Lena jokes are best kept to the corner bar where they belong. We talk about other stuff. And that's kind of where we're at. And this is, I couldn't be prouder to say it here. So, before the break, we were talking about the philosophy that governs the sort of the not just to govern, but that puts out the siren song that the left puts out there to a whole lot of people. The idea that everyone should give what they're able to give, and everyone should take what they need to take. It's all good. Now, the problem with that is, eventually, takers outnumber givers. Eventually, as Margaret Thatcher, another icon of my youth, said, the problem with the left is, eventually, they run out of other people's money. That's what we're seeing in Minnesota, by the way. I mean, they went through a $17 billion surplus. Technically, we have a $2 million surplus right now, in much the same way that someone who jumps from the 53rd floor of the IDS will be at the 10th floor for a bit. As they continue down, naturally. And by the way, once they get to the bottom, then you're in deficit country. We will be talking deficits in the next year here. The next year's fiscal forecast in December, I'm predicting, is going to be I'm going to say $4 to $6 billion deficit. I've been wrong before, once or twice. Anyway, the whole idea of taking from each according to what they're able and giving to each according to what they need. It's great if you can work it out organically, just human to human, as human, dare we say, Christian charity, works just fine. But when you have someone doing it for you, you have to remember another saying that we talked about in the first hour. The moral arc of history is long, and it inexorably bends towards tyranny and barbarism. We're seeing that here in Minnesota today. I mean, you have an entire government, an entire trifecta in the state that believes it's here to take from the producers and to give to the consumers. And by the way, all people are consumers. You exist according to the world of the left. And this is something that may have a hard time. You may have a hard time getting the millennials and Gen Zs in your life to really absorb and internalize. But the fact is that the left, the take from each, give to each according to their abilities and needs crowd, treats humans. I've used the term livestock. Mary Franz used the term animals. I've used the term like the pets that a responsible pet owner takes care of. But it essentially treats human beings as individual consumers, people whose place on earth is to consume. To consume food, to consume oxygen, to consume services, to conserve air. I'm sorry, to consume air. You're something into which resources are poured and from which productivity is taken out. Really, it's the exact stereotype that the left has of capitalism. And that they're wrong about, but that we're right about. And remember, if you want to make this run across an entire system, you have to have someone determining what people's need means are and what people's needs are. And remembering that the moral arc of the universe bends towards tyranny and barbarism, that can only work as long as there's a intense will to make sure it works. Now, I have another bunch of sayings here that I think make much better governing your life material. I'm just going to read it here real quick. We could play Name That Tune if you want. In this time of moral and political crisis, it's the responsibility of the youth of America to affirm certain eternal truths. That foremost among the transcendent values is the individual's use of his God-given free will, whence derives the right to be free from the restrictions of arbitrary force. That liberty is indivisible, and that political freedom can't exist without economic freedom. That the purpose of governments to protect those freedoms through the preservation of internal order and the provision of national defense and the administration of justice. That when government ventures beyond these rightful functions, it accumulates power which tends to diminish order and liberty. That the Constitution of the United States is the best arrangement yet devised for empowering government to fulfill its proper role while restraining it from concentration and abuse of power. That the genius of the Constitution, the division of powers, is summed up in the clause that reserves primacy to the several states or to the people in areas not specifically delegated to the federal government. That the free market economy allocating resources by the free play of supply and demand is the single economic system compatible with the requirements of personal freedom and constitutional government, and that at the same time the most productive supplier of human needs. That when government interferes with the work of the market economy, it tends to reduce the moral and physical strength of the nation. When it takes from one to bestow on another, it diminishes the incentive of the first, the integrity of the second, and the moral autonomy of both. That we will be free only so long as the national sovereignty of the United States is secure. That history shows that periods of freedom are rare and can exist only when free citizens concertedly defend their rights against all enemies. That the forces of international communism are at present the greatest single threat to those liberties. And that the United States should stress victory over rather than coexistence with this menace. That American foreign policy must be judged by this criterion. Does it serve the just interests of the United States? So how does that sound to you? Never heard it before, I'm going to guess. If you're like 99% of even conservatives, you've never heard what I just read. I didn't just make that up. I'd like to think I did. It actually predates me by a bit. It's called the Sharon Statement. It was from a meeting, a two-day-long meeting of a group called the Young Americans for Freedom, which still exists. They're not so young anymore. The statement came in 1960. They gathered together at a place called Sharon. It's the name of a house. It's at a place where people are posh enough to name their houses with a straight face. In this case, the home of William F. Buckley. You've heard of him. The father of modern American paleoconservatism, one of the most brilliant political thinkers ever. And one of the people who brought us, instrumental in bringing us the conservative revolution that gave us Ronald Reagan, the 1994 Republican Revolution, the end of the Cold War, the peace dividend, and 40 years of the prosperity that have led, to the most amazing, humane distribution of wealth through the free market in the history of the universe, and also so much wealth that you have a generation or two that are behaving like those lab rats in the behavioral sink experiment. The two-edged sword of having your material needs taken care of to a degree that even your great-grandparents 100 years ago would go, wow, I can't even do it. This is better than those illustrations of rocket ships flying around the place. Better than Buck Rogers cartoons. The idea that there's more obese people with diabetes than there are starving people with starvation would make someone 200 years ago, 500 years ago, go, "Wow, you're just dreaming." Next, you'll be saying the 8th Congressional District here in Minnesota will ever be Republican. And that's just crazy talk, too. And you go back beyond that, or you go to parts of the world not governed by those principles, even 30, 40 years ago, at times when India and China and sub-Saharan Africa are racked with horrific famines, killing millions. And they would all say, "Oh, good luck with that." And yet, around us right now, I mean, you talk through this. These are the things that should govern the wishes, the desires, the motivations of a free people. And yet we've seen, just here in Minnesota, just here in the metro area, these values being betrayed systematically while in the interest of providing for what? For material satiety. For providing a small version of that lottery winning, that lottery prize that eventually destroys people's lives. By providing you the utopia, the raft of plenty that led successive civilizations of Norway rats to destroy themselves because they just have nothing left to push for. With their material needs met, but their social and psychological needs to mean something, to make a difference, to exercise their agency in this world, to be a human being that exercises their free will and rolls the great dice of every person's life and tries to come up with a lucky seven and with a little luck comes up with a point four and rolls another one and has a good life. The opportunity that this gives you is that it gives any sentient human being should be self-satisfying, should be self-selling, should be the sort of thing that someone looks at and goes, "Yeah, this is the life I want." And convincing a couple generations that being this person, rather than the lab rat, rather than the livestock, rather than the pet, is the greatest goal in life and the system that the conservatism we believe in gives them. More on that when we come back. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot.
You looked in the mirror. Smile was all over your face. Was out of nowhere.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Mitch Berg in for Brad Carlson. Headliner in for closer. That's just such an alteration of the natural flow of things. Yet, here we are. Brad's off on assignment. Technically, so am I. This is a pre-recorded show, which doesn't mean I'm having any less fun doing this than I do during a live show. But much more on this to come here. By the way, I've got to point this out. Northern Alliance Radio Network, of course, Jack Tomczak coming up in about 15 minutes here. Brad Carlson back as normal next week. I'll be in my normal slot next week surveying my domain and all will be right with the world next Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. Jack from 3 to 5. Again, 15 minutes out here. He's wending his way to the studio, bringing the cat. No, that was yesterday. What am I saying? Anyway, Saturday afternoons, 3 to 5, Jack Tomczak, the new guy. By the way, my band Elephant in the Room playing out this coming Saturday at Excelsior Brewing. We have so much fun. We were there about a month ago. Always have an amazing crowd. They love us there, and it shows. And I think we love them right back because we always have such a blast playing there. Hope you can join us. Excelsior Brewing next Saturday, 7:30 till 10:30, I believe. Just come out sometime in the evening. We'll have fun. Maybe you'll pop a top or two here. They make the best low-carb beverage. I'm not supposed to talk alcohol, so I won't. At any rate, talking about the two competing views of the world and why I think it's time for a lot of us who've experienced the benefits and, yes, trials and tribulations of freedom to explain what freedom is to a generation that, and again, I'm stereotyping here, but I think it's an apt stereotype, a generation that was brought up in the most amazing plethora of plenty in the history of human civilization. Even the downturns have been magnificently wonderful. I mean, no one had fun during the 2008 recession, and yet compared to the Great Depression. Heck, even compared to the 1982 recession, it was not the same. And by the way, the government system that so many of the millennials and Generation Zs are voting for obsessively is what prolonged that particular recession, just as it did the Great Depression. One of the many things you find you've been lied to about history. But I digress because time is fleeting. And the real point is this. I read the Sharon statement, which was sort of the statement of founding principles for what we call modern conservatism. We could call paleoconservatism. Not really. It's not the gospel that Donald Trump preaches, which is why a lot of us paleoconservatives are kind of skeptical and sort of, you know, what have you done for me lately when it comes to Donald Trump? Because some of these principles go far beyond politics, but they are promoted or demoted by politics. So they're important in this environment. I mean, you look at some of the principles and the way they're being trashed in our society today. The first one, we believe the transcendent values of individual's use of God-given free will, from whence derives his right to be free from the restrictions of arbitrary force, and that liberty is indivisible. The lockdown ring a bell to anyone? Government decided to chuck common sense, science, freedom, individual agency, and shut the whole society down. Now, I'll meet them halfway. For the first couple of weeks anyway, we didn't know that it wasn't going to be the next bubonic plague. Everyone was justifiably concerned until it became very clear that the state's model, the model that the state had used, had calculated its alarmist predictions, was completely wrong. And instead of having a best case 20 to 70,000 dead within 5 months, we were heading for more like 2 to 4,000 dead. Tragedies in every case, but nothing like the complete crushing debacle that was predicted. And yet the governor held on to power because providing for illusory fake safety and material satiety, in other words, all those stimulus checks people were getting, was more important than people being able to go out and ply their way to use their agency in the world. Second principle, that liberty is indivisible, that political freedom cannot long exist without economic freedom. Well, look at that lockdown again. Look at the way the state of Minnesota, to say nothing of the U.S. government, treats individual economic freedom. During the lockdown, they declared war on individual economic freedom. The purpose of government is to protect those freedoms through the preservation of internal order, the provision of national defense, and the administration of justice. That's on one side. On the other side, you have Mary Moriarty. Pick one. You only get one. When a government takes from one person to bestow on another, it diminishes the incentive of the first, the integrity of the second, and the moral autonomy of both. Which, by the way, is a direct commentary on the whole idea that the goal of government is to take from those with the means and give to those with the needs. It diminishes the incentive to the first, the integrity of the second, and the moral autonomy of both. Which, by the way, is the entire goal behind the minimum wage, you know, raising minimum wages to $15, $20, $30, $200 an hour. If we just apply some number that satisfies your material needs, you'll be fine. Oh, the other one, yeah, we'll only so free as long as the national sovereignty of the United States is secure. That history shows periods of freedom are rare and can exist only when free citizens concertedly defend their rights against all enemies. Well, our national sovereignty is a joke right now. You look at the southern border, it is porous. It's not even porous. It's non-existent. And it's going to stay that way as long as Joe Biden is president. And by the way, it is his fault, and he could change it with a single stroke of his pen, just as he did when he came to office. Anyway, our sovereignty is a joke at this point. History does show that freedom is rare, that, in fact, the moral arc of history does not bend towards justice, but, in fact, towards tyranny. That is history, right there. Freedom only exists when free citizens concertedly defend their rights against all enemies. And if you want to be a cynic, you have to look at the way the public education system and even some of the private education system and the entire academic system has been teaching our last few generations here. Free citizens concertedly defending their rights against all enemies. They've got a whole couple of generations, or at least the loudest, most annoying mouths in those generations, convinced that our freedoms, our liberty, our system itself is not just corrupt, but diametrically opposed to being good. That's inextricably tied with the greatest evils of human history, which we are told are slavery. And it's inextricably linked with mankind's basest instincts, and that the free market system that underpins it is itself a form of exploitation at best, white supremacy at worst. The opportunity to teach these next couple of generations the truth is the greatest challenge of our time, bigger than bringing down the Soviet Union, let's be honest. That's our Omaha Beach. If you're part of the older generation who's been there and done that, this is our Omaha Beach here, folks. See you on the beach. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for Brad for letting me do this. God bless you all. God bless America.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You
don't. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.